Misery is knowing there are wolves under your bed, waiting to bite your ankles the minute you turn out the lights and start across the room to get into bed.
Richard was the author of those thoughts about goblins, but it could be you.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University brings you Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about the process of writing creatively. Conducting the program is children's author Jacqueline Jackson.
Goblins, ghosts, spooks, wolves under the bed. We're all afraid. There's an inscription on a bench in Scotland that reads, "From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and all things that go bump in the night, good Lord, deliver us." Ghoulies, ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, goblins, spooks, things that go bump in the night or might go bump in the night, we're scared of them. Terry from Oconomowoc wrote in, "I hate to be alone sometimes when my mom and dad go to work at night and leave Kim and me alone, because then it seems like all the everyday common noises grow louder and there is the thought of a monster or murderer or robber going to get you." A mother reported to me that her son Eric said, "Don't leave me all a dark in the lone at night." Another of my students told about her son, who loved vampire movies and would go to every vampire movie there was. His sister discovered one morning in his bed a small cross, and John got terrific ribbing from the rest of his family because for all the poo-pooing that he made of the vampire movies and how they didn't scare him, yet he was taking the traditional hex on vampires to bed with him to be sure that they didn't get him in the night. Chris wrote, "At night when I go to bed, my brother leaves the door open, and when a car comes down the road, it casts a shadow on the wall, and it looks like a big ghost moving around the room. When Mom or Dad go to the living room to read, they turn on the light, and it casts a shadow on the door, and it looks like a ghost and scares me. Sometimes my brother Jeff wakes me up, and I think that a witch is tapping me on the shoulder, and I get scared." It isn't always things that go bump in the night that frighten us. I recall my own fears when I was a kid. We used to play a game called Bear. My sisters lived in a small room and their beds were pushed together, and there was a crack between the beds, and we would start going around the beds, through the crack, along the floor, up the other side, over the bed, through the crack, with one person being chased by the bear and the other sister being the bear. It would start out being a game, everybody knowing that the bear was not real, that you were not really being chased by the bear. But it only took about three circuits before I was in a frantic panic because there really was a bear chasing me. That bear was going to get me. And I guess that was part of the fun of the game, that you were being scared by the bear. We had another game called Witch that had to do with the back stairs, which were sort of gloomy and dark, and we certainly didn't turn on any lights, and the witch hid at the top of the stairs. There were a couple of convenient closets, and we would head up the stairs, and at some point the witch would come out and grab one of us, and we would all shriek and fall back downstairs pell-mell, and it's a wonder that one of us didn't break a leg or something like that. But Witch was one of our favorite games. Fears aren't specific to children. I discovered this when one of my college students in a writing class wrote a paper where she was telling about her childhood fears. It goes like this. At the tender age of 5 years, I began a nightly ritual battling the demons and beasts of the black. There was a definite method, as I suppose there is in any, to my madness. Just coming in the room meant pushing the door open as wide as it would go. It would have to be a very gentle, slow push so that I could discover the killer behind it before he could jump clear of it, and my body was turned for a beeline escape to the living room and my mother. A slow push on the door might seem ridiculous to you. You might think this would only clue the killer that I was there and that he could easily jump free of the door. But I was sure that behind the door killers only wanted to get you in the back. So after the door was pushed back as far as it would go, I'd peek through the crack where the door was hinged. He could, you know, have scrunched himself up. With the door safed, I put my back to it, gave the room a once-over, and walked as nonchalantly as possible to the closet. I always had some line, spoken in an obvious, out-loud voice, as casual as I could muster, like, "Oh, let's see now, I think I'll just pull my green skirt out and lay it on the chair for school tomorrow." I thought that this bit of psychology would make the killer, who was now in the closet, stay there until I was asleep to kill me. I could then open the closet and move the clothing around and check out the top shelf. I'd seen those movies where they hid behind clothes and were never suspected. I was somewhat baffled as to how anyone was going to get on the shelf, but I thoroughly suspected it would be an acrobat. Closet inspected and doors shut tight, I could turn my attention to the bed area. The space on the side of the bed opposite the door was usually killer territory, but it could easily contain a tiger or two. I remember tiptoeing to that spot. Under the bed was the real thing. To see under it, you had to lie absolutely flat on the floor, which made positioning for a quick escape pretty difficult. The best I could manage was lying with my head toward the door. As I was convinced there were alligators, crocodiles, snakes, vultures, lions, tigers, foxes, wolves, and all other sort of carnivorous and poisonous vermin under there, it was also hard to determine that all those shadowy places under there were really free of these things. So jumping into bed meant just that, and from as far away as I could manage, no alligator was going to snap my foot off. Well, when Kath read that story of her 5-year-old safing of her room in class, something very unexpected happened. The adults in the class, and they run from 20 years old to 50, began talking not about the fears that they had when they were little kids, and supposedly it's all right and natural and normal to have fears. They began talking about the fears that they had right now. What we all realized as we got talking about these fears that Kath had started off by telling her childhood fears was that we all have our own ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties that we're afraid are going to get us no matter what age. That reminds me of the James Whitcomb Riley poem, a couple verses out of it. Orphan Annie has come to the house to be a servant in the kitchen, and she tells the children stories, and here's a couple of them. Once there was a little boy who wouldn't say his prayers, so when he went to bed at night away upstairs, his mammy heard him holler and his daddy heard him bawl, and when they turned the kivers down, he wasn't there at all. And they seeked him in the rafter room and cubbyhole and press, and seeked him up the chimbley flue and everywheres, I guess, and all they ever found was this his pants and roundabout, and the goblins'll get you if you don't watch out. And one time a little girl would always laugh and grin and make fun of everyone and all her blood and kin, and once't when there was company and old folks was there, she mocked 'em and shocked 'em, and she said she didn't care. And just as she kicked up her heels and turned to run and hide, there was two great big ugly things a-standing by her side. And they snatched her through the ceiling, for she knowed what she's about, and the goblins'll get you if you don't watch out. And little orphan Annie says, when the blaze is blue and the lampwick sputters and the wind goes woo, and you hear the crickets quit and the moon is gray, and the lightning bugs is all squenched away, you better mind your parents and your teachers fond and dear, and cherish 'em and loves 'em, and dry the orphan's tear, and help the poor and needy ones as clusters all about, or the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. You may think that goblins and boogeymen's and so forth are past history, and yet Roger from Eau Claire wrote in, "When I was small, my mom said if I did something wrong, the devil would take me away. This one day, I broke my mom's watch, and it cost $5, but the devil did not take me away." He discovered that the threat was a hollow one. Somehow, we are fascinated with monster literature, with ghost literature, ghoul literature. We love to sit around. My kids like to hear scary stories. There's a certain pleasure and even comfort in being scared when you know that you're in a safe place. The problem, as Kath described it in her story, is being scared when you're not in such a safe place, when your bedroom is filled with shapes in the night. Our kids have enjoyed, when they were smaller and even now, Bedtime for Francis by Hoban, I think you pronounce his name, where she keeps peopling her room with beasts and monsters and getting up, it's a picture book, and going to see her parents and tell them what now is bothering her, the crack in the ceiling that something might come out of, the shape on her chair, which turns out to be the bathrobe that she had left there. Well, today I thought, let's write about a really rich subject. Let's write about these one-look words that we know from the time that we're little. Let's write about the things that go bump in the night. What sort of ritual do you go through to de-spook your room before you go to bed? What did you believe in when you were little? What scared you then so that you were in a cold sweat? What sort of shadows did the marks on your wall, the grain on the wood of your door, turn into? What monsters were hiding there? And not only what were you scared of when you were little, what are the monsters that are scaring you now? What are you afraid of when you're left all a-dark in the lones? What goblins are gonna get you if you don't watch out?
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. We know it's Halloween time, but let's go light on the witches and pumpkins and Halloween fears. Let's write about the fears we live with all year long. Send in your fears to Jacqueline Jackson, Capitol Campus 128, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.